Dan Whitaker here with Carolina Weather Group. We're outside the hotel where the National Storm Chaser Summit's being held, and let's go take a look. We're here at the National Storm Chaser Summit, and it's been a very interesting day so far. It is Saturday, and it's the main day of the convention. A lot of people here. It's a sold-out event, and people are here for all sorts of different reasons.
Yeah, I've met a couple people. Someone came up from down from Vancouver, as well as met a 14-year-old weather enthusiast, and as well as a storm chaser who started chasing at age 80 and has been chasing for 6 years.
So we've got a range of a lot of different people. Everyone's chasing for different reasons, but I think at the end of the day, people just really like weather, like the sky, like the freedom of going out and looking at clouds.
Lots of very interesting chase vehicles as well. It seems a whole array of different cars in the parking lot. It's been very neat to see.
Yeah, there's the Dominator, the Tip 2. There's quite a few very decked out vehicles with cameras and different types of technology built into these things. We actually have a few technology tech tables here at the conference that are trying to help improve Wi-Fi, help improve chasers being remote. It's a big deal for being in the middle of nowhere.
Hi, I'm Tucker White. I do Tucker White Photography and Video. I'm based out of Enid, Oklahoma. I've been doing photography since 2017, so going on about 7 years. My love for meteorology started in 2009 when I was 7 years old. Outside of Rooted House, Illinois, I saw my first tornado go by the house. And I fell in love. There was a man out in the driveway. He was filming. When my parents got home that evening, I asked what there was a guy taking a video of him. My dad was like, well, he's probably a storm chaser. I was like, what's a storm chaser? So he explained it to me, and I fell in love instantly. Well, back in 2017, moved up to Colorado for a couple months and just started taking pictures of everything. And I realized that capturing these moments is kind of how I want to do storm chasing, is the video and photo aspect of it. I mean, stuff like this only happens once. You're only going to get one storm that looks exactly how it looks, where it looks, that lighting. It just makes sense to capture as much as you can, because it'll never be seen again. So that's what I've been doing since 2017. I'm still fairly new to it, so not the best photos, in my opinion, in the world, but others think they're pretty good. So I'm going to keep going at it. Yeah, it's been my thing, and I like it.
Dan Whitaker here with Carolina Weather Group. We have Bill Hart, who is decided to sit down and share a little bit about his chasing and stories or whatever. We're at the conference here at the National Storm Chaser Summit out in Fort Worth, Texas. So, Bill, what brings you out to Texas?
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I came out for the conference. I try to go to this conference every year. It's a lot of fun to meet, you know, old friends and see new people. And it's just a very fun time. It's very educational. You see a lot of different perspectives. I hope to learn a little bit and socialize.
You are a chaser from the East Coast. You are in with our East Coast chasers,
yes.
But you also are friends with a lot of the Midwest chasers as well. How did you end up on the East Coast, and have you been there for a long time at this point?
I've been on the East Coast my entire life, and mainly in Virginia. And so I started chasing a little bit around Virginia, and then I went out to the plains. Actually, I did Cloud Nine tours in 1997, and then I went on my own after that. And I've been basically chasing every year ever since. I try to do 2 weeks every year on the plains, and then I chase Virginia whenever I can.
That's great. Have you had much luck chasing in Virginia or the East Coast? I mean, of course, comparative to the Midwest, it's a little bit different, but...
It's hard. I've seen a few tornadoes in Virginia. It's a lot more difficult than out in the plains. And in some sense, the Virginia tornado is a little bit sweeter just because, they're so much harder to get. It's much more challenging. The trees, the winding roads. But it's a lot of fun, and I'm trying to do a little more lightning, too, and just storm structure.
That's a good thing to do around Virginia, for sure, and we have all those beautiful mountains and whatnot as well.
Yes.
So you were at Reno, Oklahoma?
Unfortunately, yes. That was a pretty scary time for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very curious about how that worked out for you. Can you just tell me a little bit of the story, maybe a couple of lessons you learned or what you ended up seeing?
Well, I knew it was going to be a bad day. I mean, a terrible day for those folks in Oklahoma. And I was actually chasing with a large group of friends. And, you know, I sometimes chase alone. Sometimes I chase with a group of friends. And we're a whole group of us, some from Canada and some from the United States. And we basically kind of targeted in the El Reno area. And we knew from the beginning that something bad was going to happen. And that sky, you know, to the average person, it just looked like a beautiful sunny day. But to a chaser, that the sky was kind of the ragged cumulus. It was like impending doom. I mean, you could see it in the sky. And so basically our group went out a little bit west of El Reno and then targeted the storms as they formed. And then, so, you know, I wanted to get closer. So I went west of 81 near the airport as a main storm was developing. And I thought I was keeping a pretty far distance from it. And I'm not one to get right in close. I mean, I had a child, and I got two now. So, you know, I had to, you know, I'm trying to be a little more careful. So I was keeping my distance, and you could kind of see it in the murk, and it was getting bigger and getting closer. And then something just didn't seem right about that storm. It was so big, and it was shifting southward that I kind of kept my distance a little more. And then I shifted back east to 81, and I was just going to, you know, mosey on down south. And all of a sudden, it was like almost at the road. And at that point, I had this critical choice of, do I race south and try and get in front of it or get past it, go east with roads that were maybe not so good, or go north into the core. And I unfortunately made the decision, I think I could make it. I think I could make it if I go fast enough to the south. And so I blasted south in 81, and you could see the storm off to the west. And, you know, to that non-weather person, it just looked like a lot of dark, but you could see at times you could see the swirling vortices right in the field next to the road, and it basically just overtook the whole road. I was in the actual tornado. It shifted the car. I'd passed all these people. I don't know how I didn't get shifted off into the ditch, but I managed to get out, and I passed all these people, and I was so upset because I was sure that those people didn't make it. And I escaped from the storm, and I tried following east a little bit, but it was, you couldn't really see anything in the murk. So then I was like, well, I'll just go south. And of course, there are very few roads crossing the river. And I got caught in that massive traffic jam to the south with more storms bearing down. And that is not a fun situation with storms heading towards you, and you're stuck in traffic. I mean, there were people going the wrong way, you know, on this divided highway to head south. And basically finally got out of there and met up with my friends who were stayed a little bit further back, and that was my last chase day of the year. Of course, I didn't know about the tragedies. I was sure bad things had happened, and basically went, you know, drove back to Wichita and flew back. I was like, I got no sleep that night. I was in a daze. It wasn't until the following day I started hearing reports about that there were people missing, and I found out the really bad news. And you know, I think the lessons for that is, you know, I lost situational awareness, and I thought I was keeping a safe distance, but I got too close, and I was losing the position of myself and the storm, and then I tried to race in front of it, and as I think we've seen on Skip Talbert's lecture, storm safety lectures, that you really don't want to cross in front of the tornado's path if you're trying to get away from it. And I've made that mistake before, but I cut it too close, and I almost bit the dust for that one. And I'm lucky I made it.
Yeah, that's an incredible story. And, you know, we've been seeing, like you said, in Skip Talbot's talk and a couple of other presentations here, there's been a lot of talk about Reno, Oklahoma. Yeah. A handful of the people here experienced it, but a lot of the people were not around for it. They hadn't started chasing yet. So I think the stories that come from it and the lessons that are learned are hopefully going to be carried on, you know, to the new chasers as well. Where can we find you so we can follow you and make sure we keep up with your stuff?
Oh, well, thank you. I have a website. It's Hark Photo, H-A-R-K Photo, like Hark Herald Angel sings. And I'm W.T. Hark on Twitter. And I'm on Facebook. You can just, you know, follow me. And I have a YouTube channel too, but my YouTube channel doesn't have my name on it. It's D as in dog, A And is Nancy, A-U-S, number two at, and you can go there or just go on my website and it has all the social media links.
Great. Well, we'll be sure to follow you and looking forward to kind of crossing ways here in North Carolina or Virginia in the coming months in spring to hopefully do some good storm spotting. And
I'm looking forward to hopefully a good and hopefully a normal chase here this year.
Yes. Hopefully a normal start, March or so. But yes. Come on. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Dan Whitaker here with Carolina Weather Group. We're here at the National Storm Chaser Summit, giving away a weather meter by Weatherflow Tempest. We're really excited to be giving one of these away during this wonderful convention. There's a lot of people here who could use a weather meter. I think a lot of people really want to take more accurate wind measurements, temperature measurements, wind speed, and to be able to use a weather meter to do this is going to be great. So looking forward to having a big winner.
I'm Hannah Chestnut.
And I'm Caleb Berkey.
So we've been talking a lot about, what it's like going to school. That's just all really interesting stuff about, that y'all made it all the way down here. How long of a drive was it from your school?
It was 2.5 hours.
Yes, okay. 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Being in your first year here at OU, you're in the thick of it. As you develop and kind of get through the program, where do you hope to go, I guess, during the program, hopefully, keep pursuing storms or whatever you enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. But what do you hope to also do after the program?
Well, I know...
I know pretty... I can go.
Yeah.
So, for years now, I think my dream was to go to OU. During this time in OU, I'm hoping to just network out. Just get my name out there and the people who I want to work with or people that I know can help me get the job that I want. There's not too high of expectations of what I want to do throughout OU. I just want to build myself up to live the life I'm trying to live. I want to see storms. I want to do some research. I want to help people. I want to just do all these ambitious things. And post-grad school, because I'm planning on getting my master's for sure. I want to try to get at least reach the Storm Prediction Center at some point. I really want to forecast there. I want my name to be on an outlook. I want my name to be on a watch. I want to know that Berkey is the one who issued this. And I think that would be really nice to try and communicate outward, because I love just learning about communications and like what works best with some people. Just doing that the best I can and thing in my outlooks. It's just something I've always dreamt of doing. So I guess, as an easier answer for during OU, just learning how to get to that point and meeting the people that I know can absolutely help me get to that point for sure.
That's great. Yeah, the communication part is so important. And I would like to see your name on it too one day. How cool would that be?
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Yeah, right? We'll go back and re-air this. So, that's a great dream.
I don't know. There's just so much you can do. I would say definitely somewhere like part of the weather service for sure. SBC would be so cool. I feel like it's a lot of
fun. Oh, you got it. We'll do it together.
Yeah. National Hurricane Center. Anything with hurricanes would be super cool. Tropical weather is very... I'm very interested in it. Convective weather, too. Just severe weather in general.
Here at the convention, we also had the Hurricane Hunters as well. So they gave a presentation. And cool to see.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different avenues for what we can do. And it's ever-changing, too. I mean, a lot of the people you'll see here, they maybe only got a professional weather job or started chasing in their 30s, 40s. I mean, they have already lived a whole life, and now they're on to a new type of different life. So the fact that you're starting here just gives you so many options. Are you all going to be chasing in this upcoming spring, like going out around OU? And
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, we should be.
Well, maybe I'll see you all out there.
I hope to.
So wonderful. Well, is there any way that the people watching this, do you have any social media that you would like people to follow you on or anything like that?
Yeah, when it comes to weather relations and just professionality, I do have like an X account, Twitter, whatever. It's Caleb_Berkey, B-U-R-K-E-Y, and it's Caleb with a C. I know sometimes people can mix it up. Yeah, primarily that's what I only really want to be contacted through is through X, and if connections build better, I can go outward from there.
And I'm also on X, not very much, but it'll be Chestnut_photos. Chestnut is Chesnut.
Okay. Well, that's great. Thanks for putting that out there. Let's definitely give them a follow, and you know, we'll be excited to see you as you continue along your career here.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Have you ever seen what an indoor environmental assessment looks like in a commercial building or business? During a full assessment, we collect data throughout the building and compare the measurements room to room. We can also collect samples that go to a lab, such as the small cassette shown here, which will be analyzed for types and amounts of mold in the air. We follow up with a physical inspection, looking for moisture sources and using moisture meters to determine if any of your building materials are wet.
Here we are back at another interview for Carolina Weather Group. Here we have Ryan with us today, who is a far traveler, almost in a similar way, but even further than Carolina Weather Group came to come to this conference. So Ryan, tell us where you're from and why are you here?
Well, thank you. First off, thank you so much for having me. I am actually from Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada, just on the north side of the Canadian border. It's a little bit north of Seattle, about 2 hours. And I am a storm chaser from the Pacific Northwest.
Tell me about, I heard about a special tornado that you ended up intercepting last year on Canada Day.
Certainly. So I was able to intercept in Canada, known as the Didsbury tornado or the Canada Day tornado. So July 1st is Canada Day in Canada, the day that we achieved independence from the United Kingdom. And I was a few days in advance, just like everyone else, communicating with other storm chasers in on the Canadian prairies about what the setup was looking like, what was going on. I live in Vancouver, so getting from Vancouver to where that was occurring, just north of Calgary, it takes some time. So I decided I was going to drive, because typically I do the end of June, beginning of July on the Canadian prairies, because that tends to be kind of our better time to do storm chasing. It's a little bit later in the year than what you see in the United States, but it was the perfect time for us. So I was watching, I'm like, okay, that's it, we're going. On the night before, I got myself partway there, slept the night at a friend's place in the British Columbia interior, got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, checking the models, checking things that were going on. I wasn't actually planning on going to where the tornado happened. I was actually looking to find a discrete supercell ahead of that dry line that was occurring along the Rockies. And as I was making my way, it was another 7-hour drive, so I was up early in the morning, got to Calgary at noon, checking radar, checking current conditions, and noticed that there was a cell that was blowing up just to the northwest of Calgary. And I was like, oh, it looks okay, but it still looked kind of messy. So as we were leaving Calgary, my plan was actually to meet other storm chasers that were farther to the northeast. But as we were driving up to see them, checking radar, and as we were looking at the radar, it was looking good. So we're like, okay, no, you know what? The friend that was coming with me from Calgary, no, we need to stop and check this out. As we get up to about 45 minutes north of Calgary, we're looking at this and this is it. You can see it, you see the lowering, see the wall cloud, we're turning off. We get there, and literally, the timing for me was perfect. Parked on the side of the road, and literally parked on the side of the road. I didn't even have time to get my stuff set up, so I have a time lapse on my Twitter where you can kind of see the tornado, and it looks, you can tell that I am losing the grip on my phone because I'm getting tired from the time lapse. So we drove up, and it was starting right when we got there. So I could not have timed it any better. It would have been nice to be there a little bit earlier, to be fair, so I could have got all my other camera equipment done up. But it ended up being an EF4 tornado, which was the first EF4 in Alberta since Edmonton in the 80s. So to be there for that was incredible, because we don't see those big, powerful supercell tornadoes on the prairies. Typically, they tend to be landspout tornadoes, that sort of thing. So to be there and you're looking at this going, oh my goodness. So watched for a while, tracked it along, lasted about 40 minutes. Then it became a big dusty mess. So, but we kept following for a while. But it was incredible to get that low precip supercell right at the beginning with that tornado dropping. I will never forget. And it was incredible.
Yeah, that was quite the day. I think pretty much everybody ended up seeing that tornado across the U.S. and everywhere else because it was very photogenic, very visually astounding.
Certainly. Yeah. And that's the one nice thing we tend to find. Everybody hears about High Plains Insanity, that sort of thing. And it's typically because they tend to be those low precip supercells that happen. So you can get those photogenic tornadoes. And that's exactly what we saw in Didsbury, just north of Calgary, that day. It was perfect. There was no rain wrapping, nothing like that. The other nice thing about Canada is it tends to be a bit more sparse population-wise. Unfortunately, there was some damage that I was able to see afterwards. But thankfully, there were no deaths and only a couple of minor injuries. Unfortunately, there was some livestock that were lost and somebody lost their home and equipment, but that could be replaced. So that's the best part, because as a storm chaser, you want to get those great visuals, but what you don't want to see is people getting hurt or worse yet, succumbing to a tornado. So it was the best of all those things. And to see the other footage afterwards was absolutely incredible of other people that got a little bit closer. I know a lot of people probably know Aaron Jajak. It was my opportunity to meet him that day too, because I knew he was there. And it was, I will never forget that day.
So where can people watching this podcast follow you?
Certainly. They can follow me either on Instagram at YVRWXWatcher, so YVR Weather Watcher, because I'm based in Vancouver, or using my name, Ryan, and my last name, which is a bit of a mouthful, Voutilainen, but I'm sure you can find me on Twitter as well, where I am. And I also talk a lot about, whether it's not tornadoes, doing a lot about the Pacific Northwest, our microclimates, and kind of how our weather is kind of unique in North America. So follow me there, check me out, and I'm happy to see if anybody comes out up to the Pacific Northwest or to British Columbia. Make sure you let me know and come and say hello.
Thank you so much for coming on and a wonderful invitation. I hope to see you up there someday kind of soon.
Certainly.
That would be a dream. So thanks for stopping by, and I will see you through the rest of the night.
Definitely. Thank you.
We're signing off from the National Storm Chaser Summit. It was an awesome time seeing all these cool people. We still have the Dominator and the Tib behind us, and people are getting ready to leave. We had a fun time at this convention, and we hope that you have a fun time watching the videos of the interviews and seeing what happened here.